I said the Lord is good. If you're happy and you know, you say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you believe the word of God is the source of life and is activating substance inside you, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. Everybody, can you just say after me? Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I
please Him in all respects.
I
bear fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Says, I'm strengthened by all power.
And I'm attained
to steadfastness. Or let's say, I'm attaining to steadfastness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, as the word of God is coming forth,
I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation.
I have the spirit of understanding.
And I gain direction.
I
gain knowledge of the will of God for my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare someone, say, I am not confused.
I am not confused.
I have wisdom.
I have understanding.
And I'm walking in the will of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, soul. Now you're speaking to your soul. Say, soul.
Hear the word of God.
Walk according to the will of God.
Because that is your destiny.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, your life.
You're speaking to soul now. Say,
soul.
Listen.
Your life
will manifest the reason why you were born.
Just understand this.
David says, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You can learn to talk to your soul. Are you getting my point? You talk to yourself. That's what we're talking about. You know, you give direction. Please don't, in case you have forgotten, or even if you haven't forgotten, go and listen to the series again. The laws of confessions, all right? Those things, as you declare with your mouth, as you utter the word of God, you are giving direction to the whole of your life. Do you understand that point? It's very important we understand it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue our school of prayer on how to bless your generations, how to bless your children, how to establish a destiny for them. Remember, we said that this is our school of prayer, so what we are doing is teaching the people of God how to pray. I say it again and again. A lot of prayers that Christians say these days, they are not effective. They are not effective. I want to say something funny, all right? It's not very funny. It's actually very annoying. It's pathetic. It's something to cry about. But it sounds funny. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because this is an opportunity. You know, Bible says, what did Paul say again? I'm not regular King James version in a long time, all right? It said, be instant in season and out of season. That they use every, because of my own ministry, I use every opportunity to teach people the word of God. Do you understand? One of our sisters sent me a message yesterday or the day before and said, if I was at night, say, I know it's late, so you don't have to reply now. Of course, it was so late that I saw it in the morning. I was asleep, all right? And that in their church that Sunday, yes, that was day before yesterday, the pastor had said something like this, and I'm just talking about it as an opportunity or just using the opportunity to correct people again. That when Jesus died on the cross, that His death only redeemed you from the curse of the law. Every other curse, you have to deal with yourself. If I don't have to talk again, the way you reacted, I think you get the point. Let's just go. I like the way you shouted, hmm? Like, what? Did somebody say that? When I heard it, I said, what? Now, I wanted the name of the church, because if I tell the name of the church, you will fall through that chair. When the lady told me the name of the church, I said, wait. I replied, I said, wait, is this church you're talking about? He said, my brother, and so I said, they have to report that man to the big man at the top. So they should sack him. Now listen to this. Let me just complete the gist a bit so that just to encourage people a bit. That the Bible says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the Lord. That's the only curse He redeemed us from. That every other curse, you have to fight it. I said simply that Paul was applying a broader redemption to a specific matter. Are you getting my point? It's like saying, because I said, God redeemed you from headache. You now say that, you see, Pastor Banks said, God redeemed you from headache. That means stomach ache is still there. You have to use a little wine for that one. You know what I'm trying to say? Forgetting that I was addressing the issue of a headache at that time. So I was applying redemption to headache. And that's what Paul was doing. Because in actual fact, the Bible says that every handwriting that was written against you, everyone, he nailed to the cross. If any man and any woman is in Christ, the person is what? In all things, everything is passed away. No curse can stay in your life except there is sin. And the Bible says that you have in him redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So please don't believe that lie in case you hear it anywhere. What you need to do, all right, is to stand in the freedom that Christ has placed you into. The way he set you free. Because what the devil tries to do once in a while is to speak through men like that to tell you you are still in trouble. And then every little temptation in your life, you say, you see, Satan is coming after me. The reason why you are not prospering is because there's marine spirit. Please, every marine spirit, better stay in the marine area. Stay inside the ocean and be eating plankton. Just stay there. You come near my house, you will go to hell early. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, why I just remembered it. So you see Christians praying prayers that, you know, you're trying to break a curse that has been broken. Curses that Jesus has already broken. In fact, let me finish this, so that you'll be warned. The man now said that what you will now do, you guess, you see, the way he's laughing, he knows where I'm going. The way he's laughing, you know he knows where I'm going. That the price of the sacrifice, any animal you want to sacrifice, bring the money here. I'm happy you shouted. It shows you understand the will of God. I was shocked. In case you are hearing this and you did not know the truth, that one is a lie. I told my sister who sent me the message. I said, my dear sister, I said, this is foolishness. Because if indeed Jesus did not redeem us from that curse, like he's saying, is he now saying it's an animal sacrifice that will redeem us? Why did he not say, let us apply the blood of Jesus? So bring the money with which you have bought Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Why is he saying it is money with which you have bought goat or cow or sheep? When I heard plenty of nonsense. Say maybe some people went to the shrine and dedicated and made a promise on your behalf. That you are going to bring goat and chicken. And since you did not bring it, the spirits are now pursuing you around looking for the goat. That what you will now do is that you will bring the goat to church. May God deliver all of us from the spirit of poverty. That is why men preach messages like that. Now, so you see, why did I tell that story? And I like the way you reacted. You know, that shows that if you were there, you would laugh. I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy. You, the blood of bulls and goats, sorry, and the money of bulls and goats cannot take away any curse. Your redemption is in Christ Jesus. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Why did I go into that again? I'm trying to emphasize again, this is our school of prayer. What we are doing is not just praying. That's how we do more teaching, all right? Because what we are trying to do is to teach the people of God how to. So that we don't waste our time. You go at home, gather your children. Tonight, we want to break the curses that the ancestors, you know. Please. Your ancestor is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Whichever you look at it, either you look at Jesus Christ or you look at Abraham. Because concerning Jesus, it was spoken. He said, it was written, I and the children that the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. So you are taking as one of his descendants in that regard. If you are looking at the side of Abraham, Abraham is your father, and these people did not leave any curse for you. Are you getting my point? You are a new creature. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He said, your ancestors, those people in the village are not your ancestors. They used to be. They lost the right the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? The day you gave your life to Jesus, they lost the right to be called your ancestor. So the sins of the ancestors are not on your head. If you go around believing they are on your head, that's why they stayed there. Because ignorance of the will of God and the word of God is what keeps the people of God in bondage. That ignorance. Listen, if you accept the truth of God, you will understand that in reality you are free. Are you getting my point? Let me say it to you clearly again. If you go to any church, anywhere, you go for anywhere, somebody says that, now, we are going to break all the curses, don't pray. While everybody is praying, just stand, unless you look, you know, it's not good to discourage the man in front, look like you're a rebel. Just stay there and be saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm free. Thank you, Jesus, I am free. Thank you, Jesus, by the power of the blood. Just be confessing what you know. Are you getting my point? If they now say, you will bring a sacrifice, I say, that one, call me a rebel, I'm not going anywhere. I am not coming. Tonight you will say there is a special sacrifice to break that curse. Don't get up. I command you not to answer anybody. According to the word of God. Listen, let me say it to you again, Christians. If you want to give money, give money. Giving of money is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I believe in giving of money. If I see a man of God that has been a blessing to me, comes to town, I will go and give him something. One day I was somewhere, one man ministered, that is, he was just driving me, you know. I couldn't sit down. I looked around. Ah, I had something valuable. It was my wristwatch. I went to him, removed it. Sir, wear this. It's a genuine one. I'm not buying it. My watch is not an imitation one. I gave it to him. Giving is good. Why did I give to him? He was such a tremendous blessing to me. If a good work is going on, in fact, there's one particular good work I remember last week that they informed me about. I said, yeah, I've not submitted anything. So I have to go through my phone and try and get their contact so I can go and submit my portion. Because something good is happening. That ministry is reaching young people. They're doing a lot of good work. And I know the people who are in charge. And they told me that this is their plan. And it's a good plan. They needed an office, you understand? They have to equip the office. So they have a... I said, waiting. If an ordinary computer, I'm going to buy for you now. You know that kind of thing. It's a good work. I'm not tying anything to it. When I give it. He said, God will bless me back. Amen. I received that prayer. But that is not why we are doing it. I won't even remember it when I'm praying. It's a good work. The other day, my mother and I were speaking. You know, she said that sometimes, wahala of relatives. I said, what's your problem? When they pull you, you pull me. I mean, did they expect you to be working and earning money? What another says is that good works are what? They are good. We Christians, we love to give. If 1 week passes, you have not given, you should feel bad. You understand my point? Don't look for a man who looks sad. What is it? Is it hunger? The Lord is good. What another they say? We Christians, we love to give. Amen?
Amen?
We are givers. If you are givers, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, it's our nature. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we are believers, so we give. But we don't use giving to break any curses. Curses were broken by the blood of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We don't give so that we will get. It's unnecessary. What did I say? It's unnecessary. We Christians get simply because we bother to ask. And when we ask in what? In faith. And we don't add any offering to seal it. That's unbelief. When we Christians, when we ask in faith. We know that God, our Father, loves us. You know why we don't add any money to seal it? Because it gives us some confidence in our works. And we don't want that one at all. We don't want to risk any, you know. We don't want to risk it. Say, yes, I've given us. So, once you have it in mind, it's no temptation. You are praying in the name of Jesus. Father God, you will do this for me. You know, say, I don't do it for somebody. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Don't forget my offering. In the name. It is no longer the name of Jesus. It is partly the name of offering. So we Christians, listen, if you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
I say to you again, you have been set free from every curse by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You cannot break a curse with money. You can't. Your offering does not break any curse. The real offering is the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? That sacrifice on the cross, Christ is the final offering. The only offering we as Christians can give, there are just two of them. One, that is our life. The whole life we live is an offering. So that's why we are called a living sacrifice. You're going to work is an offering. You're talking to your neighbor is an offering. You are relating with your children is an offering. The one we are learning today now is part of how to, you know, make our lives offerings. That is how to offer that sacrifice through our children. We're talking about to bless your offspring. It's an offering. Then number two is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. Those are the offerings that Christians give. Every other thing we do with money, we just do it. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, because it's good. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He appreciated how they gave him money to support his ministry. That's a good Christian habit. In the same manner, the same Paul told the Corinthians, let us give money to those who are suffering in Jerusalem. The same Paul wrote to Timothy, instruct them that are rich not to put their hope in this money that they have. Their hope must be in God. A manifestation of the fact that their hope is not in their money but is in God is that they are generous. They are ready to share. They give. They don't try to manipulate God. They don't try to break any curses. They can't use the price of a goat to break any curse in their life. Should have told that pastor preaching that message, she is whole burnt offering. When we have gathered the money, set it on fire. He won't. He won't. It's too risky. He will not set the money on fire. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, when I got that message, it made me think a lot of thoughts. Somebody should have told the pastor, say, pastor, she, now price of goods is a whole burnt offering. When we gather the money, let us set the money on fire. But he won't agree. Why? Because he was not telling the truth. Either he was speaking totally out of ignorance, or more likely, it was just convenient to forget some things. Let's leave it like that. We won't say more than that. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, back to it. So, while I digress into that, we must know how to pray. He said, teach us how to pray. That's what the disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist, they said, also taught his disciples. We must know how. And now we are talking about how to bless our children. Remember, we started by saying there are different ways, all right, by which we may try to get something. Okay? But in all the ways, there's what the Bible calls the way of God. And we read that from Psalm 118. He said, open to me the gate of righteousness, the gates of God. He said, this is the gate of God. The righteous go through that gate. That is, there are different methods people use in trying to attain to a particular result. But there is one that is the method of God. And Jesus said that one is usually the less commonly threaded one. That's the one that's less commonly used. So he said it's a narrow road, all right? The straight or tight, okay, he was saying, is a gate that leads to life. You understand? It's a narrow road. It's a small gate. And few, he said, are those that walk on it. And that's what we must do. We must seek, okay? He said, stand by the way road and seek the path, the good path wherein the elders walked, all right? And if you do that, you will find rest for your souls. That's Jeremiah chapter 6. So that's what we are doing. We are learning the good path. What are we looking for? We want a blessed future for our children, all right? We want our descendants to be established. We want them to have a good life. And what is the common way by which people go through it and try to enter into that? One, let us save money. All the banks in trying to collect your money now, they have this Save for Your Kids program. Have you seen it? Yeah. Actually, what they meant is that give us money to do business. Don't worry, it's not for your children. They know. Let's not fool ourselves. They know that this money is going to benefit us more than your children. They know. You are the one that may be deceived. You know, those who are marketing it to. The aim is not your children. The aim is the bank. The aim is their investors. The aim, all right, is the shareholders. This is just an incentive, something to use to persuade you to bring your money. Many fall for it and try to lay up their treasure for the children in the bank. Some say, no, you see, saving is not good. It will outstrip, inflation will outstrip it, the interest on it. And therefore, what do we do that can keep in tandem with inflation and maybe beat inflation? That's the stock market. So they put that laying up money there for the children. Those who have enough wisdom know, they know that you don't use cash. All right, you have to be totally ignorant to store money as cash. So people try all of these methods. And the one that I specifically, because it's very common these days, all right, which I am speaking against, then I say, okay, go and have your children abroad so that you can give them a foreign passport. You're born in America, you're born in UK, you're born in Australia, whichever country, depending on their laws, you are a citizen of that country. So if you give your children, if your child is born in that place, then you have given the child the say and opportunity in life. And let's summarize it. I said it's a fat lie. It's arrant nonsense. There is no advantage to it for Christians. Let me really say something. When I say to Christians, all right, or for Christians, is that you must understand that I'm not talking to Muslims. I'm not talking about talking to those who don't believe in God. I'm talking to Christians, children of God. And every action you take in life has a meaning. It's either an action of faith or one of unbelief. Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
So it's not neutral. If you say, just in case, it's an action of unbelief. Do you get my point?
Yes.
It is a step of unbelief. There is nothing like a just in case. Once you put just in case, you have removed the other case. You have removed the case of faith. You have removed the case of the Spirit of God working actively in your life to bring something to pass. It's not neutral. Are you getting my point? It's very important. The amount of effort you put into something shows the amount of faith that you have in the thing. And I've been explaining that, what are we supposed to do? I said that God doesn't just tell us, don't do this. He tells us what to do in its place. So what do I do? If you say that saving up for my children is not the way to go, trying to have the child in a country where I am ignorant enough to think, you understand, that in 20 years' time, when that young man wants to settle somewhere, that would be a better option for him. I'm ignorant enough to think so, all right? He said, I shouldn't do that one. What do I do in its place? And that's what we're discussing. And last time, the first day, I emphasized the fact that you just started with the issue of naming your children, because one of the things I want to start with today is to remind us again that every child that God sends into your house has a destiny. That child was not born because you love children. It wasn't born because your village people know that you are the first in line to the Igwe, and the Igwe in line should have a prince and a heir for himself also. That's not why the child was born. You get my point? The reason why God sent that child into your life is because he has a destiny. She has a destiny. There is something that he wants to accomplish, all right, through that fellow's life. That statement he made to Jeremiah does not apply to Jeremiah alone. When he said that before you were born, I knew you. He said, from your mother's womb, I had consecrated you. I had appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's not only for Jeremiah. Do you understand? Not everybody will be a prophet. But every one of your children, all right, God has spoken something specific about that person. About that child. Very important you bear that one in mind. Because it's the understanding of these things that form the way you relate with issues in life. When you have these things in your mind. So I said that, listen, let's try and be prophetic even when we are coming, when we are naming our children. And just give your, I was reading the news yesterday, or was it today? They said the pictures of Prince George released. So, I don't know many of you saw the pictures. So what's my problem with Prince George and his pictures? He's a little boy. The boy is jumping. What's the meaning of Georgie? I don't know. Are you getting my point? No, I'll give my son George just because there's one Prince George whose pictures were released finally. You know, human beings have a crazy way of doing things. So it's an official release of Prince George's pictures. People go and buy magazine. Hey, have you seen Prince George? Oh, what is he wearing? What kind of jeans is that? Obviously, you don't have work to do. You're not busy. The Lord is good. All right. Well, I give your children names, all right? You should have something in mind that's prophetic. That way, I'm not going to preach that message again now. Give your child a prophetic name. No matter how long the sentence is, give him the sentence first, then shorten it after. Like I told you, my last boy, his name is Victory. Victory is a short form. If I write his full name, it's a few lines. The day we were doing baby dedication, what is his name? I said his name. I've mentioned many names. And Victory, when we got to that Victory, I said his name is Victory over death, sickness, poverty, all the works of the devil himself, hell. They are in trouble. You know my point? That's still the name. So, that is the name. So at the end of the day, what is the short form? Victory. That's the short form, Victory. So give your child. That's where it starts from. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. They are not framed by the things that can be seen. He said, we understand that what we see did not come out of that which was visible. So when we understand that, what we are doing, all right, is we're ensuring, you get my point, that we are aligning, you understand, our doings with what we understand. So when I know that what we become of this child, all right, is not the material thing. That's not what's deciding. It's not how much money I've given him. It's not the education I gave him. I said to you, education is a basic, it's like food. Just like you teach a child, all right, to eat, you should teach a child how to read and write. He has to be able to communicate. That's basic in life. But those are not the things that are deciding his destiny. Say, this boy is going to be great because I gave him beans. Are you getting my point? You're not going to say that. Why do you give him beans? Why do you give him fish? Why do you give him meat? Why do you give him all those things? So that he can grow up and be what? Strong. In the same manner, he has to be intellectually strong. That's why he goes to school. It's not a guarantee of a bright destiny. We know that it's spiritual, so we handle it spiritually. One of the things you do is you make sure that when you are calling your child every day, you are calling him something that has meaning. And that day I told my son, I said, I've modified your name. The next time you knock, I say, who is that? You say, Anointed Daniel Olubenga. I said, good. You understand? He said, yes. So now when you call him now, who is that? He says, Anointed Daniel Olubenga. I said, very good, very good. You've gotten the point. That is, there is an unction upon my head. I will function in this life by the empowerment of the Almighty. That is what they need. That is more important. Give these children prophetic names. This was the name of my great grandfather. Who is your great grandfather? Who cares who your great grandfather is? Give him a name that describes what you expect out of his life. If God has given you a revelation, attach it to it. If you have a deep desire, all right, of a good thing, form it into a name and weave the name of God into it. Are you getting my point? And call that young woman by that name. You can shorten the name for practical reasons, but occasionally you should call it fool. Call it fool. Or prophesy. Christians must learn to prophesy all the time. The Bible says you should pray without ceasing. Paul said, pray without stopping. That's how you pray without stopping. You form everything to a prayer. The Lord is good. Very important. We started with that. Then last time I now began to talk about this. And I want to continue on that particular one today. But let's read it again. Good scripture to read. There are two we're going to read. Let's just read that one again. I will be quicker in reading it today. Because we read it last time. Genesis chapter 27. Because of time and because we have read it before, I'll quickly just go to the areas where I want us to look at again. This is a story of how Isaac blessed Jacob, even though he intended to bless Esau. And we explained last time it was because Jacob understood the significance of that invisible substance. And that was why he went after it, and it was rightfully his, even though his father did not realize that at that point. So when he came in to collect the blessing from verse 27, so he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now notice that. These were the words. This is a summary. You must understand the way the Bible records things. I told you before that the Bible is small for the amount of information it contains. Genesis chapter 1 alone. Physicists are still fighting over it till today. What is the distance between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? The earth is 17 billion something light years old. Nobody knows. What happened? Nobody knows. All we know is that the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. The Bible summarized the story that scientists have been fighting for centuries to understand in one verse. Bear that in mind. That's how the scriptures, all right? That's how the Bible is. You find, you know, it said that we start talking about who revolves around who. Look, we don't know. The Bible says that God said, "Let there be light." That light, we can spend a long time decoding what kind of light it is, because we know it is not likely to have been the light from the sun, because it was a few days later before he made the stars, made the suns, and made the suns also. So we can go ahead researching for a very long time. The Bible is very concise. Everything it says is correct. The problem is that people don't understand it fully. And I tell you that the Bible didn't know. The Bible is inaccurate. You don't know it. That's the issue. When you understand it, people say that, was it Galileo? Who was it that realized that the earth is actually rotating around the sun, and the sun is not rotating around the earth? And now I want to show you that, look, modern scientists now say that it's irrelevant who's rotating around who. Because we have found that everybody will rotate around something. The whole universe is a mass of rotation. So now, there's nothing like the earth is rotating around the sun. That's to teach secondary school physics. When you get to advanced level physics, movement is relative. So those who said that the sun was moving around the earth, they are not lying. They are as accurate as those who are now saying that the earth is the one rotating around the sun, because all of them are rotating around God. Do you get my point? So we really don't know who's rotating what around where. Just in a rotation, just keep moving. All right, just keep moving. The Lord is good. All of us think we are sitting down here. Scientists said in a lie that we're all cruising at maybe a few hundreds of thousands of kilometers an hour. And we think we are sitting down. If God applies brake, Oh boy, this goes far. The Lord is good. Now, why did I digress into that? That just emphasizes the fact that, you see, that's a summary, okay, of what happened there. I'm not sure these are just a few words that he used, but that's the summary of the discussion, of the prophesying. But we said something last time, let me emphasize it again. Something must have left him. Something departed from him. He knew that unction, virtue, left him and entered into whoever was there, who he could not see. And the good Lord, you know, if you read the scriptures well, you will know that God had to blind this man. Yes. The good Lord had to ensure he could not see. Because go and check it, he's the only one that could not see. His father and his children, they all could see, even though they were old. Jacob went into Egypt as a very old man. He was seeing. At this age, he could not see. He lived for more than 20 years after now. So I think for a temporary period, God closed his eyes so that he can effectively switch Jacob for Esau. Because he will have argued. Who are you? What are you doing here? I've warned you. Let me not curse you with something you don't want to hear. All that argument, say, God, it's because he's seen, Abby. Close his eyes. Which was the same thing he did to Zechariah. So this argument is because you can't talk. Close his mouth. Before he uses his mouth to spoil something good that we are doing. The same man, I close his man's eyes. But the man knew that something left him when he was pronouncing that blessing. And we said that, listen, this is the important thing about it we should bear in mind. And that's from verse, if you read verse 33, that was when he said, we knew that something left him. Because he said, who was it then? That's when Esau now came afterwards. Isaac, the Bible says, verse 33, trembled violently because he knew what took place was a very significant thing. So he said, who was he then that hunted game and brought to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and I blessed him? He said, yes, he shall be blessed. And then look at it further down. We read this one last time. Let's not spend too much time on it. Verse 37, as a consequence of that, he shall be blessed. He said, behold, I have made him your master. That is, what he's going to be in life is what I made him today. All his relatives I have given to him as servants. That is, the position he's going to occupy in life is what I decided when I pronounced the word of God over him today. And he said, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. His prosperity is not the money I'm giving him. It's not the stocks that I've laid up for him in the stock market. It's not the number of houses I built in the choice part of town, all right, for him. It's not the will I wrote physically for people to execute after I will have passed on. That is, because I'm a very rich man, the will that people will now execute on my behalf after I will have passed on, that is not what is sustaining him. He said, with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. I'm doing this without passing across any physical substance. I'm doing this without writing him a check. I'm not writing a physical will. I just spoke into his life. And I'm telling you, by virtue of the words that I spoke into his life, he's sustained. You understand my point? And that's what we talked last time about, the power of that blessing. That is what we Christians must bear in mind. We must understand and we must make it a habit to constantly sustain our children with everything that we believe they will need. When people are running up and down, say, I want to gather money so that I can, you know, maybe help my son get an education from one foreign university and then he'll be able to get a good job. What you should do, you don't have that money. You know, I said something last time, you have enough. That here, an amen.
Amen.
Yes, you don't need it. The day I realized Michael Jackson was poorer than me. You know, when you hear Michael Jackson, you think he's a very, very rich man. You understand? The day I realized he was poorer than me was I was paying a doctor 200 and something thousand US dollars on a monthly basis to be able to sleep. And I didn't need to pay anybody, Jack, to sleep. So when God was sharing out money, he said, Banky, you don't need that $200,000 monthly. So why don't I have it? Because I can't sleep. Are you getting my point? Many people spend a lot of money seeing psychiatrists abroad just for counseling. I have a Bible. So, I have Kenneth Hagin messages. I have Bishop Edipo messages. I have all kinds of messages. I have Billy Akoni's messages. I have you as friends. Are you getting my point? I have you as friends and brethren. I don't need that money they are paying to the psychiatrists just to talk to them. You know what the man does is sit down and listen. So God don't share the money. Are you getting my point? That this one, you don't need it, so I won't bother giving it to you. What am I saying? When people are running around looking for money to do some things, why God didn't give you the money is that there's another way you can do your own. That's what I'm trying to explain. Some people are saying, what are you doing? You and your friends are talking. This is for the children, you know, who are building the house so that at least they can collect rent money. In your mind, are you planning for these children to be poor? So they'll be waiting for rent money. You'll get back home. Sustain your children with prosperity. You don't have to give them physical cash. You need to have prosperity in your soul. Are you getting my point? Deep inside your spirit. And from there, you pull it out and sustain that young man, sustain that young woman with prosperity. He said this here, that with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. How did I do that? I poured the blessing into him. That blessing is a spiritual substance. I'm repeating the message I prayed last time because it's very, very important. That blessing is a spiritual substance. It's not a wish. Most people pray, the prayer is like a habit. Let's just wish for something good to happen. No, it is a spiritual substance. You have to infuse these things regularly into the lives of your offspring. You have to infuse them regularly into their lives and resist every temptation that tries to make you remove those things from there. Sustain their life with words. We talked about it before. Words are very powerful. Said life is what? A battle of words. Everything you see is temptation, all right? So that people will say what is wrong. You hear that, a plane was flying over Ukraine, and the rebels, in their stupidity and zeal, they shot it down, killing almost 300 people on board. And you know your son will fly too. You get my point? Just, hey. Oh boy, when you want to fly in life, check whether the path is over a conflict zone. No. That is how most of human beings respond. But this is the point. That's how most people respond. Hey, you call your son, I just want to advise you. Before you book a flight, check the path that they are taking. If there's a conflict zone, if he flies over Gaza Strip, don't go. Because as they are shooting rockets into Israel, you never can tell. If he flies over, Democratic Republic of Congo, where they are having rebels fighting from Rwanda, don't go. So which one do I enter? And once it's not flying through any dangerous zone, it's okay. Thank you, Daddy. By the way, which website will I check? That's how human beings respond. You want to plot it. But the Bible says you can sustain that child with divine protection. When you hear that, tell your children, it's simple. You will not fly in a plane that will be dropped by rebel fire. It's a statement. Don't be beg. I'm just warning you and informing you. That is how your life will be. I have sustained him with divine protection. Everywhere you go in life, you will be lucky. Doors will open for you, even though you do not know any human beings. I'm a blessed man, therefore my name is good. But whether they know your name, you are a child of God, you are talking to your offspring. Whether they know you are my son or my daughter or not is irrelevant. Remember, everywhere you go, favor will surround you like a shield. That is sustaining your child with favor. You don't need to give him a note, go and meet my friend. Listen, that's as Christians, we don't have any advantage in life, disadvantage. We don't have. We don't have. The Bible says that the Lord surrounds the righteous round about with favor as with a shield. So instead of saying, who will help my child? Who do I know? Who do I not know? While they are still small, start sustaining them with favor. When you are praying, it's not just today. God, as we are going out, we thank God for that. It's a good prayer. Amen? It's a good prayer. But then, we are creating a habit as Christians. We sustain the children. The young man maybe was born yesterday. Now, you are already sustaining him with excellence. You carry him in the morning. The mother says, please hold him for me. You are rocking the baby. Stop singing things that have no meaning. The children are wondering, what's wrong with daddy? Why is he talking like that? They can't just tell you because they can't talk. But they know you sound off. Because science has shown that even while they were in the womb, they are hearing voices. From the womb, they know the mother's voice. And I come and say, are you okay? after when the child is crying, say, oh, don't cry. You are surrounded with favor as with a shield. Everywhere you go in life, doors will open for you. The angels of God will protect you all the time. Your angels will not depart away from you. Listen to me. You are a seed of the righteous, and you are going to walk in righteousness. I command the glory of God to restrain you into a walk in righteousness. You are sustaining him with righteousness. Listen. Solomon said, this is one thing that the rich and the poor have in common. He said, God is the maker of them all. Now, you can look at that on the surface like God made everybody, but there's something else that's deeper that's going on in there. He said, all of them have the same divine resources. I don't know whether you get that. That's what Solomon was saying. He said, the rich and the poor, they have that one in common. God is the maker. But what does that mean, really? It means all of them have the same divine resources. Whether he's rich or he's poor. The rich man will use money, okay, and you go to this, you go to Harvard, you go to Princeton, you go to go anywhere. So he uses money to talk. But the poor man said, well, money is a way of talking, but the talk is not more powerful than words. So he tells the boy, listen to me. Your friend's father can give you money to go to Princeton. I will give you words to go anywhere with. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, the way spiritual things work. I told you the story before. The Ben Carson said something. As a little boy, he went to church one day with his mother and the head of medical missionaries. And he wanted to be a medical missionary. He trained as a doctor, then he go abroad and go and help people. Except that his mother was young and poor and there was no father. Father had gone. So he turned to the mother and said, do you think I can be a doctor? This is America. Plenty of money to go to college, to go to med school, even more money. The mother instead of saying, do you know this? You know, that's why. Be careful the kind of words you speak. Be careful. Someone said, oh boy, not your level. No, the mother didn't say so. The mother put two hands on both shoulders, looked at him in the face, said, you can be anything you want to be. All we need to do is ask God for it. They went through trying times. They went through difficulty. They went through all kinds of challenges. But ultimately, after going through every challenge in life, the young man, you know, let me tell you something, the way God works. He rearranges events to bring to pass that which he wants to do in your life. That's how, because what happened to him was that he was now growing up in the time of what they call affirmative action. What's affirmative action? Affirmative action is like, because they understand that the blacks have been downtrodden for a long time. They have a lot of disadvantages. So just made it a law. Like in Nigeria, we have what they call educationally disadvantaged states. So when they admit into universities, they give preference to people from those areas. Once you meet a certain, you cut off for people from those areas, usually is lower than from those that have educationally, like if you are from AKT, forget it. You understand my point? What is this state where every household has a professor? I mean, go and score higher in JAMB before you come back. You understand? You know? So that's what they call affirmative action in the U.S. So they were giving opportunities to black people. God used all of those things to open doors for him. That's what happened. The time he, and of course, he became, we are talking about him now because the man became world famous. The time he entered, when he became a resident doctor in neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins, what happened? It was just simply because he learned music. So when he went for interview, he was the only one that discussed music. He didn't discuss medicine. He discussed music with the head of neurosurgery. But when they discussed music, the man liked this young man that liked music, so he appointed him. By the time he was finishing, a door opened and they asked, will you step into it? He said, why not? People offered him money to three times what he was earning. He actually resigned so he could go and earn more money. His bosses called him, oh boy, why are you resigning? You are good. This job is good. It fits you. Brilliant future. He said, my man, I need money. But whatever it is, they persuaded him not to go. They tried to adjust his conditions a bit, but it was still poorly paid compared to the people who were, you know, asking him to come. But at the end of the day, he became the Ben Carson that you and I know today. Now, why did I talk about that? Where did that start from? It didn't start from when those things began to happen. People want to start adjusting things much later. No, he started from the beginning. One day, his mother put two hands on his shoulders and said to him, you can become anything that you want to be in this life. All we need to do is ask God for it. And they prayed right there. And the events of life began to rearrange to ensure that he became what that day they asked the Lord for. That is, the mother sustained him there with divine favor. Many people who had much more money than her could not achieve what the young man achieved. That's why Solomon said that the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they all have the same resources. All they need to do is learn how to apply that power that God has placed at their disposal. Isaac said to Esau, I have sustained your brother with new wine. I sustain him with grain. I'm telling you, children of God, sustain your children with favor. Sustain them with the spirit of righteousness. Sustain them with spiritual characteristics. How do you do it? It's what you tell them. That is it. Because I'm going to talk about something. Maybe, okay, let's read that scripture now. That would be a good time. Because Christians, you know, I said every action you take in life as a Christian is either an action of faith or it's an action of unbelief. And let me say something to you. If you're a child of God, no, let me say something. Once you are leaving Egypt, please enter the promised land. You hear what I said? Once you are leaving Egypt, what do you ensure? Enter the promised land. Don't loiter around in the wilderness. Otherwise, snake, serpent, go bite somebody and the fellow will be buried in the wilderness. What do you mean by enter the wilderness? Enter the promised land. Take the word of God and act upon it. Follow divine principles. Do what the Bible teaches you. What the word of God, when the teacher of the word of God, prophetic utterance, whatever it is, comes to you and you know this is the word of God, obey it. That's how to enter into the promised land. Because those who leave Egypt and don't enter the promised land, they give God a bad name. The God that takes people out of Egypt, but he cannot deliver them into the promised land. When they die in the wilderness. That's what I mean when I said, make sure you enter the promised land. And what do we mean by that? Obey divine truths entirely. Obey prophetic words entirely. Obey divine truths entirely. I'm saying something here. You see, when Christians make decisions sometimes, it's obvious they don't believe divine truth. And one of my brethren said something the other day. He said, this money that God is giving us, let this money not become a curse. Let us not use in claiming, because one of the things that happens in life is that if you don't follow divine order, you're actually running away from the thing you think you are pursuing. And you are running towards the thing you think you are running away from. Let me explain. There's one explanation I used to use. You see a young woman say that, I don't want to be poor in life. You know, my father was poor, so we suffered as young children. So what is her solution? She's a Christian. If you're an unbeliever, you know, unbelievers have a different set of rules that guide them. I'm not a teacher of unbelievers. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. I teach Christians. So the young woman says, no, so that I will not be poor in life. I will not marry a rich man. Except that that is dragging her closer to poverty. She doesn't know it. If you don't want to be poor in life, what do? You pray. You know, people don't realize it. It's that simple. You just sit down and you pray. And you know God answers prayers. God answers prayers, though. Do you know he answers prayers? Oh, God answers prayers. If you just kneel down sincerely and say to him, you are my God. You are the one I'm running to. I am not asking for this because I'm competing with Chinedu. I'm not asking for this because I'm competing with anybody. This will make my soul glad. Listen to me. He will do it. I went to that to explain something. So he said, I don't want to suffer like my mother suffered. So you're now looking for a rich man to marry. That is passport to greater suffering. The glory of the latter house shall be more suffering than the former. That's what, as Christians, we handle things spiritually. Like one of my friends said, I told the mother, any man that marries me will do well in life. He has no choice. He has married me. Once he marries me, he must do well. See, let me sit on this message. So the thing as Christians is that we have to be careful that we don't run towards the thing we think we are running away from. And like I said earlier, how do we enter the promised land? We obey the word of God. We obey the word that we have been taught and we have come to understand and we are persuaded is the truth. We obey those words. That's the key. That is the key. Now, back to what I was saying. So, one of my friends now said, one of our brothers, he was saying something one day, that let's hope that this money that God has given us does not become a curse to us. Why? God gives a young man money. He says, I want to ensure that my children are well taken care of. And what does he do? This one that is happening these days, he packages wife and children and send them over to Canada while the joker stays in Nigeria. One of our brothers said something. He said, family, you're not supposed to visit your family. You go home to them. The family are not people that you visit. You go home. I can't say that, Pastor Bankin has to talk. Pastor Hanna, yes. I want to go and visit my family. Where are they? They're there for Belgium. So you visit them how many times a year? Like 3-4 times in a whole year. One whole year. That's where I like it. Say, you know, what works for somebody does not work for another. Yes, stupidity works for some people. And wickedness works for some other people. Yes, in that regard, I will agree. Who's talking about all? Let's face the truth. So one of our brothers said that, look, family, you don't visit family. You go home to them at the close of work every day. You can go and visit your friends, visit your grandmother. Are you getting my point? Visit your uncle. Visit Lord Lugard. You know, visit. I don't know why I said Lord Lugard now. You know, just visit. When it comes to family, you go home to them. There have been situations which people some things compel its separation, but it has to be temporary. That is, you have to be working hard to end it. You get my point? You have to be working hard to end it. Not sitting down to plot it. Why do people do those things? That's what I'm talking about. Now listen to this. They say, you see, when if I leave my children in Europe and I'm in Nigeria, or I leave them in North America with their mother and I'm in Nigeria, thank God for all the temptations. I'm so strong. Temptation is not my portion. Fat lie, but let's just believe the guy is telling the truth, you know. You know, one of my brothers was talking the other day. He said one guy who was making that decision, he was shaking his head, talking to him. He said, the man who counseling you is a womanizer. You are a Christian. You are taking counsel from a womanizer. You know that when his wife has gone, that is freedom. But for you, it's called torture. And you are listening to him. May God, this is my prayer for Christians, may God help us to understand what is important in life. Amen. Very, very important. Now, this is where I'm going. Now, people do those things. Why? Because their faith is in human structure. And that's the reason why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. But they don't understand. The child you hardly see, how do you put a hand on him and pour a blessing into him? The things that are seen are not made out of the things that are visible. What do I mean by that? What I'm saying is that the prosperity you are wishing for, hoping for your children, that you are desiring for them, it doesn't come because of good roads. They say a good educational structure. It annoys me. You know what it annoys me? The educational structure you are talking about has a principle underlying it. There is no God. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, you are rushing your children to a place where they say the teacher cannot say to them that homosexuality is wrong. by law, if he infers it by accident, they sack him. And you are not there to teach him the word of God. You obviously don't believe there is power in that word. Maybe you should not be listening to this message. People don't understand what is important. You want a child to say so that he will do well in the future. Meanwhile, what the people that are going to help him do well, they're telling him, if your father is a man and your mother is a man, it's okay. They're now changing their form to spouse one and spouse two. Father and mother is getting, is discriminatory. Yeah, when you say father and mother, you are discriminating. So you now say spouse one and spouse two. Yes. Some are even saying that they should redefine the word father. Because a woman can be a father if she chooses to be. So to solve the whole problem, that's start using spouse one, spouse two. And that's for who are married though. Some will go carry father than that. They carry further than that. It's not even spouse one, spouse two, because they may not be married. So it's now partner one, partner two. Because the partners can be both, can be Adam and Steve. And or can be Eve and Evelyn. You know what I mean? And the people are confident. They now take their children and cast them into the center of that and stay away. And you think that you are giving the child a brilliant future. It makes me laugh. Why can't they go to the school and say, the ASU went on strike? The man saying this, ASU was on strike when he was in school. Now, God has blessed him and is prosperous enough to carry wife and children, to catapult them somewhere else. And, you get my point? The same God that blessed him before is dead. So he can't do it for his children. So he has to do it by himself. I wonder if our brother said, let this money not become a curse. Remember that scripture I quoted? The poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they have the same resources, they just don't realize it. So for the rich, if he's not careful, his money becomes a serious disadvantage to him. And as for us, for those of us Christians, I said earlier, we have to be careful that we think we're running away from something. Meanwhile, that's the very thing we are heading for. The primary thing that determines what the life of your children will be is how you sustain them with the word of God. But that's the next thing I want to go into. Because that's why I went into this sidetrack, because people look at it, they take their children away from the center of the word of God and put the children in the center of ungodliness, because there's a good educational system around it that teaches the boy there is no God. And you have the impression that you can phone him and remind him periodically, there's God, though. No, I didn't say that the way you're thinking it. When I said that, I actually meant there is God, though. For you now, you are thinking there is God, though. We have to be careful. That's what that brother was saying that day, that this money does not become a curse. You have to be careful. Why am I saying it? For those of us Christians, we know the things that matter. It is more important that you personally teach your children the way of the Lord in how to do righteousness and justice. Two scriptures we read with it. We'll continue developing that one next time. Let's just read this quickly. It will take a few confessions of the word of God, and then we'll leave here. Let's quickly go back to Genesis chapter 18. When God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and destroy it, in verse 16, the Bible says that the men, that's from the house of Abraham, now he stopped in Abraham's tent. Verse 16, then the men rose, Genesis chapter 18, all right, verse 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That's all I wanted. Verse 19. God says, I have chosen this man, Abraham. There is a purpose. There's a great thing I want to do through his lineage. But for it to be done, these children must be commanded. The household must be commanded in how to keep the way of the Lord, in doing righteousness and justice. Without that, what God wanted to bring to pass through the lineage of Abraham will not be done. The destiny for which those children were created will not be fulfilled. I said at the beginning, every child that's coming into your life has divine destiny. God didn't just give you children to feel happy. Say, me too. I don't carry bikini. You know that kind of thing. So you can point and be bragging. This is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. No. Those are, you can take pride in it as extra blessing. You know, like, it's the things added to it. The primary thing, reason why God gave you those children is so that he can do something specific through their lives. There is something he wants to do. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make there? Even though God wants to do something, there's no guarantee to happen in that person's life. You know, I've been saying this again and again. What you and I need to do is to do what is necessary to ensure that the word, the promise, the plan of God for our lives come to pass. For example, he said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. That is, when God gives a word, even though that word is for you, if you don't collect it by faith, mix it with faith in your heart, it will appear as if the word was not for you. Do you understand that? You understand that? In the same manner, when God called Abraham, he said, for the thing I want to do through the lineage of Abraham to be done, the children must learn how to do righteousness and justice. They must learn the way of the Lord. What am I saying? The divine destiny, the brilliant future you hope, you wish, you desire for your children will not come to pass except you as a parent take the time out to teach them the way of the Lord. That's what I'm going to say. Many people in planning for their children, that's why I said everything I said earlier, they put them in a place where they will not have the opportunity to put those children through in the way of the Lord. These are the things. One, the child, you're giving a prophetic name all the time, and so you are speaking prophecy into his name. Two, you sustain the child with words. You sustain your descendants with words. You sustain them with prosperity. You sustain them with grain. You sustain them with new wine. You sustain them with favor. You sustain them with every good thing. But for those things to come to pass, the child will now settle down and say, oh boy, you must learn, no. Oh girl, you will learn the way of the Lord. That is how you bless your descendants. The greatest thing you will give them is not money. It's not houses. It's not even a good, you know, education. We have a PhD from Harvard. No. The greatest thing you will give to them is to ensure that they are established in the way of the Lord. Next time we read that scripture again. Because the Bible says, when I mention Philistia, I mention Rahab, Egypt, somebody says, this one was born there. People take pride in where they were born. He said, but listen, it is coming. It will happen. That a time will come that people will take pride in the fact that they were born in Zion. That is what is most important when it comes to their destiny, therefore, is whether they have a root in Zion or they don't have it. Let me close here. We'll continue from this particular point next time. I want a brilliant future for my children. Not only do I bless them, I have to, with those same words, begin to instruct them in the way of the Lord. And listen, it's not just to take a Bible and mechanically teach children. That is very good. You have to do that. Like my wife ensures that my children, memory verse, everybody, you must cram memory verse, gives them lectures, the word of God and all of that. But also, that Ephesians chapter 1 prayer that we pray for ourselves and we declare all the time. Who says it is not good for children also? That God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That they will know the difference between worldliness and godliness. That they will know what is right. I dare to say very few parents pray those prayers for their children. And they expect that when they are teenagers, you know, your boys will always be boys. No. Boys can be godly boys. Do you get my point? If you teach them godly word and pray godly prayers for them. Listen, you want your children to do well in life, don't worry about it. Don't worry about money. You don't need money. Don't forget. Don't live here with that scripture. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they have God's resources, and that's what matters. There's no disadvantage that the poor man has. The children of the rich man can work for the children of the poor man. Yes. If the poor man's child, he lives on with the blessing of God from the mouth of the parents, and he learns to do righteousness and justice. One day, you know, I like one thing Isaac said. I have given him all his relatives as his servants. That scripture is very, very, that statement is deep. Let me explain something to you. Esau was a hard worker. Esau is a sign of a connected man. Esau is a sign of a man that has all the degrees from all over the world. Esau is a sign, all right, of the man that has material substance. The Bible says clearly, Isaac was speaking. He said, I have commanded Esau to serve you. Look, decode that. I don't know what I heard I said. That Esau is all the strength in human beings, summarized. And this is the blessing of God upon somebody. I have commanded Esau to serve you. That those that have will use the resources to do the will of God in your life. I don't know whether you get my point. If you say that you're looking for money to do business, don't worry about it. You know, you have to learn to know God. Amen? Amen. What will happen one day is that those who have money will give you money. You know, it's not because they like you. It's because their name is called Esau. And your name is what?
Jacob.
And you have the blessing of Isaac upon you. They will bring money to you. Strangers will build your walls.
Amen.
Listen, your children will not lack.
Amen.
People will fall over themselves to help your children.
Amen.
That's why I tell you that the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is that God, what he can do in the life of one person, he can do in the life of another. Let me say to you again, you don't have a disadvantage.
Amen.
One of our sisters gave me a testimony here last week, just last Saturday. She just heard, you know, she said that all you need to do is ask from God sincerely. She asked in the morning. By afternoon, God did 3 times what she asked for. I don't know what I heard I said. I can't give you details. Let me just give an example. Maybe just say, God, please, oh. This is my friend who is here, or my brother. I really, really would like to buy him a computer because it will be good for that, for his schoolwork that he's doing. But I don't have money. My salary cannot buy a computer. By afternoon, she got 3 computers. One for herself, one for her brother, and one for the other brother. Somebody just said, what is going on? He said, maybe I'm looking at you. What are you thinking of? I was just thinking of my brother. I want to buy him a computer. It would really be a blessing to him. Hey, you have the money? No, I'll buy it. God will supply one day. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I have one. You can have this one for you. Do you like one for yourself? Let's not give another one. Let's just make it 3, just to make everything complete. I've colored the testimony a bit, all right? But then the point, I have passed it across. Listen to me. God answers prayers.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, your children will not lack in this life.
Amen.
They will not suffer. No, listen, they have no disadvantage. They will attain to any height that you can imagine. I want to hear your amen.
Amen.
And beyond that which you can imagine.
Amen.
And that will happen in your lifetime.
Amen.
He says, say to the rich. Let me quickly say this. We must not forget. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, say to the rich ones, not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but to put their hope in God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. I need to add that one to it. These words, I keep on saying that the poor and the rich have one thing in common. If you are one of the rich, don't forget, you need the same weapons that we are arming everybody with. It's very crucial. Don't say, because I have money, I don't need to pray. Are you getting my point? Listen, do what you have to do. If you have 10 billion naira, and you feel like your son should do postgraduate in Harvard, and you have the money. I didn't say it's a sin. Did I say so? I said something. The amount of effort you put into something reflects the amount of faith you have in it. For you, maybe that is nothing. Okay, you are going to have you're a big boy now, you're in your 20s, you can still live on your own. Okay, fine, no problem. But remember, that is not an advantage to him. That's what I'm emphasizing. What is the advantage you need? You are a child of God. God gave you that plenty of money. Don't put your hope or your faith in that money. Do the same thing that every child of God requires. Put a hand on that young boy. From the time he's small, sustain him with favor. Sustain him with health. Sustain him with prosperity. Sustain him with godliness. Sustain him with righteousness. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Both of them need the power of God in their lives. That's another way of reading that scripture. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. If you understood anything today, say a loud amen.
Amen.
Very good. Let's just bow down our heads and just quickly thank God. Let's just rise our feet at the same time. Thank him your own words. And I wanted to begin to declare the word of God again. Say, my seed. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman, whatever it is. Declare your own words. Say, my seed will be mighty on the earth. Declare it. My seed will be mighty on the earth. Say, I have all the resources necessary. My children have all the advantages in life that they need. I declare upon their heads, they will be mighty. I sustain them with favor. Declare it. I sustain them with favor. I sustain them with divine protection. I sustain them with every good thing. I sustain them with life. I sustain them with godliness. I sustain them with divine understanding. I sustain them with the anointing of God. I sustain them with the spirit of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the beauty in your word. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.